Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Nick Frazier alongside Connor Newt and Jake Wallman. Good morning, Nashville. How are we all doing today? Connor Newt is feeling juiced up today.
I'm always feeling juiced up.
Wearing the full-on Wildcat gear.
Hey, it's a bad day to be a Redbird.
Bad day to be a Redbird.
Not
St. Louis Redbird. Not,
well, it's always a bad day to be a St. Louis Redbird these days.
Unfortunately.
But if you're from that small city in Kentucky and you cheer for the red team instead of the blue team, probably a bad day to be you.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Sounds about right.
Well, you know what? At least I'm not a Redbird. In basketball, that is.
That's good.
That'd really suck.
You've got enough problems college sports-wise.
All my teams are just not doing great. Not doing great.
The Ponies are doing all right.
Yes, they are. And matter of fact, I should have wore my cowboy hat today.
You should have.
I just totally
next
forgot.
Next week.
Yes, next week. And that'd be more appropriate for next week, too.
Yeah.
It would be.
Yeah.
Right on time. Jake Wallman, how are you, sir?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Great. I'm doing pretty good. Been up since about 3:30.
Jeez.
Did some morning routines going around the house.
I got a question. Where'd you get that cowboy hat?
From a friend. Is that okay to say?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, from a friend.
Out in the Western Plains.
Yeah. Yeah, they gave me a nice holster, gave me some cowboy boots to go along
Chaps
with it.
Chaps and spurs.
Okay.
Well, maybe not that, but
the whole
sure.
Thing.
Yeah.
Nice belt buckle.
Yeah, you know what? That's one thing I don't have is a belt buckle. I probably should get a nice fat belt buckle.
We'll get you one, Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Covers my waistline and my belly button. Yeah.
You're like Pat McAfee.
Nah, his is massive. You could honestly fry an egg on that thing. It's massive. It's huge. I don't know how to say it. It's massive. But anyways, our show is presented by LPL Financial, Patrick Conger. Also, our Middle Tennessee Athlete of the Week, we'll mention that here in a second. And we also have headlines. So, Connor Newt, I'll let you lead off with our headlines.
I'm going to bring us back to reality for a little bit with my headline. This week, if you were watching Fox 17 on the news, you saw a couple familiar faces that Dr. Crane is a bit familiar with. We all are here. Jason Big Joe were featured on the news this week, part of the Farrier Files. They did a story on, if you listen to Jason Big Joe, they obviously focus a lot on men's mental health and a message at the end. They did a whole feature on that. It was really, really cool. Really well done. I think Chase has mentioned it a few times this week too, but I really just wanted to come on here and say, you know, they're 100% correct. And those two are huge, huge, huge influences in my life. Chase is obviously my boss, but he's done a lot for me as a person. He a huge inspiration for me, and Joe is here all the time screwing with us during the show, but he's also given me some major pointers in life and my career and what I want to do. And to piggyback off of them, I know how it feels. I know how it is to be rock bottom, as Joe says. Mm-hmm. It's not fun, but there's always help. You can always get help. If you ever want to talk to us, we are here. We are available. You can always call us. Or dial 988 on your cell phone, which will connect you to someone who can get you help. But just know you're never alone. There's always someone going through something worse than you are. So, not trying to downplay anyone's thing, but, that's just, and I said it pretty poorly today, but that's just the message I wanted to come out with today. There's always hope.
Yeah.
There's always, always a reason to keep going.
I love that.
Keep doing it.
And I think the biggest thing about that is that, you know, there's always somebody to talk to. There's, you know.
You never know what someone has gone through or is
right.
going through. And that's a blessing and a curse.
And, you know, this world is always better with us in it.
Oh, yeah.
Very true. Very true. You know, I look at people like they have a mask on. You don't know what's behind the mask. So, but yeah, that's great, great sentiment there, Connor. As for my headline, it's kind of a little bit to that, not necessarily. I'm going with a little sports here. I watched the Trey Turner 25-minute like documentary type thing. It kind of revolves around mental health a little bit, but it's about a fan that basically was at his lowest point, and it was during Trey Turner's like slouch that he had. He was like 0-for-17 at the plate, and he put out like some social media video on, I think, like Instagram or Twitter or something. He said, "Hey, fellas, like, next time Trey Turner goes up to bat, let's give him a standing O." And so that's what did this giant domino effect of Trey Turner getting a standing ovation every single time he went up to bat, and he ended up breaking his 0-17, 0-18.
That's so cool.
Hitless streak. Isn't that pretty neat?
I love how we as a society, in sports too, but really just in general, we're incorporating more awareness in mental health and
yeah.
really accepting it as an issue that, yes, it happens. People are constantly anxious, and I think COVID is a huge part of that that kind of set us back and traumatizes a lot of us. But it's really cool to see this society that is just, you're going through something, me too, man.
Yeah.
We got you. It's just, I love the world most of the time.
And then to that point you mentioned about, you know, having people's back at the end of it all. At the end of that little 25-minute documentary, it was pretty neat because the Phillies, and it doesn't really spoil it. I mean, you can't really spoil it.
Yeah, it's a
documentary.
I'm
going to say it anyways. But, you know, the Phillies front office said, hey, so-and-so's name, you want to come out for opening day of next year? And they go, me? They go, yeah, you, yeah. It's, you know, everybody, every bit of the fans that come out, line up from center field all the way to second base, and they just hold their hands out, give all the players high fives. Well, Trey Turner was the last player to go out, and this fan was the last player that was on the, I guess, high five line or whatever it was near second base. And Trey Turner saw him, and he gave him a massive hug and said, thank you for what you've done for me.
That is so cool.
And then he goes back and says, no, thank you for what you did to me. Because the guy was on the verge of, like, possibly committing suicide.
That's so cool.
So it was a pretty cool moment. Those guys kind of shared something like that.
I love that.
But, yeah, that's my headline. Jake Wallman?
I can't really follow those two up with my headline.
Go ahead.
I'm going to try. I'm going to go with sports today, and the biggest topic this week in the college football world with Chapel Bill.
Mm-hmm. Chapel Bill
going to Chapel Hill to coach the Tar Heels. It's a really interesting move, just because I mean I don't know what he's trying to prove.
Yeah.
With this.
That's where I am too.
And I mean, I guess, you know, it's kind of the mindset, like, you know, he did say that he's always wanted to coach college football, and he, you know, he's never gotten the chance. The timing's never been right. And so now, you know, he gets that opportunity, but like, he's been coaching what, like 3-4 decades?
He's 72. I mean,
close to that.
He's no yeah. spring chicken.
And
we'll say that.
So like, I'm wondering, like, and I know that it's been talked about on the station, like ad nauseum this week, but like, what's he trying to prove, and what's UNC trying to prove with this move, firing a guy that is like a year older than he is?
The first thing I thought of when I saw that news is, how is this guy going to recruit?
Hey, we have a really great university. You should come play for us. And we really like having you here.
He doesn't have the energy for that.
That's a really good Bill Belichick.
Thank you. I've been working on that, actually. He doesn't have the energy. And this guy has never coached college football before. And I know he said he's always wanted to, and he feels he has the qualifications to do so. But do you know how much – I'm going to take a quote from Robbie. I heard him say this earlier. You know how much butt-kissing you got to do to get a kid to come to your school?
Whole lot.
Especially at a lower-end ACC school like North Carolina football is. All that money going to basketball. So – I mean, credit to Bill Belichick. Good for you coaching, but let's see what you do here. I also saw a thing that said by June of 2025,
yes,
his buyout goes from $10 million to $1 million. So hypothetically, he could bolt for the NFL before he even coaches a game for the Tar Heels.
And then one more part about his contract is that it's 3 years, I believe. Is that right?
5 years.
Five years. Oh, I thought I saw 3 years.
There was a report out there. Okay. It was 3 years, but no, it's five.
So like, by the time his first contract's up, he'll be 77.
That's wild.
I mean, how many people do you know that are out there that are like 77 years old, and they're like, man, I can't wait to get on the sidelines this year.
Bill Belichick. That's about it.
and his son, in his contract, it states that if he wants to retire, his son can assume head coaching duties.
Well, that could be, like Connor said, in 2025, if he decides to step down or a buyout. Because, I mean, that's essentially what's going to happen. This is solely a family.
This is a lifetime agreement that you've just made.
Basically so.
So I don't know what UNC, like what they were thinking when they put this move together. It'll be interesting. It'll be fun to kind of like see it all play out.
I think this is part of it is you're trying to make a big splash with a big name for your NIL collective. Oh, Bill Belichick's a big name. They're going to try and bring back all these donors that maybe Mac Brown lost or that they didn't have to begin with. They're going to say, well, Bill Belichick's a big-time coach. He's a six-time Super Bowl champion. Maybe he can bring that success over to college football. We should give him our money. I think that's part of this. But to each their own. I'm sorry, Tar Heels. Enjoy mediocrity.
And enjoy basketball season.
And basketball, which you're also mediocre in.
Oh, look at that. Connor Newton, just stating the facts.
I'm sorry. I know there's a lot of Tar Heels around
That's all
this
right.
area.
But we're getting to basketball. And also our Middle Tennessee Athlete of the Week, who is Osby Cavan, a junior guard from Pope Prep.
Yes.
Your neck of the woods.
That's my alma mater right there.
How about that?
How about it?
He just had a career high of 29 points versus Baylor.
Hey.
He's averaging 18.9 points per game, 4.9 assists per game, and 2.8 rebounds per game. And let's see, he was the All-Sumner County team. He made the All-Sumner County team last week, which is pretty good on him. In the classroom, he has a 3.6 GPA, multiple honors in classes. He made the principal's list for getting all A's and B's every semester of high school. So this guy seems to be hitting the books and the court. Let's see, what else has Osby done? Off the court, Osby has volunteered for basketball clinics, food banks, and room at the end. So I've done that before. It's pretty good. He's the only junior that holds offers from Cumberland and several Division I schools showing interest. So congrats to
Osby. There you go, Osby.
For being our Middle Tennessee.
Good for you, man. I've never had the opportunity to meet Osby. I hope I can do that someday. That's my alma mater. I love Pope Prep. I love hearing guys doing well, and I love hearing Coach Wade doing well. Coach Wade was always a good person to me, always treated me with respect and like an adult. And that's something I think high schoolers love, is being treated with respect and like an adult. So credit to Coach Wade. Great job, Osby. I mean, I got nothing left to say. You're killing it, man. 29 points, that's like three times more than I ever dropped in my career.
Yeah. When I played basketball, it was nowhere near that.
I was dropping 14. Like, that was...
That's a serviceable day right there.
Yeah, it was I was on the post, so I was grabbing mostly rebounds and a couple blocks.
Nice 14 and 8 stat sheet.
Yeah, like an Oscar Sheboy.
Yeah.
There
minus the rebounding prowess.
Well, hinting at a little college basketball, we're going to get more into that next segment. So, fellas, we're going to get into the biggest day of probably Connor Newt's season, would you say?
Yeah, but I do have one question.
Oh.
And our question of the day.
Please do.
If you've been listening to this show, you know the legend of the Newtmobile just recently passing away. It's been about 3 weeks. But here's the good news. I'm probably getting a car this weekend. Oh. It's about time. But I need help. I need a name for it. What should I name the new car? I don't know what I'm going to get. I also don't want to tell you what I'm going to get because that's free advertisement, and we can't do that on the air.
Cannot do that.
No. That's a big no-no.
No free shout-outs.
No free shout-outs. But what should I name this car? You can our text line's being a little funky right now, but you can call us. You can call us. You can always comment on the YouTube chat or on Twitter. We'd love to read it. We'd love to hear from you. What should I name the new car? For reference, the last one was called the Newtmobile. And I don't know if I want to go back to Newtmobile, too. I kind of want to change it up a little bit, you know? So, please, text or call us, 615-737-1025. Text line and phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Well, he said it, folks. We're going to get more into college basketball in the next segment. You're listening to Forest Company on 102.5-106.3, The Game.
NSYNC!
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Look at Jake Wallman pulling out the CDs from the old car, I guess.
I still listen to NSYNC. That's a guilty pleasure of mine. Love me some NSYNC.
This song came on the radio the other day in my Spotify, you know, getting a little Christmas music on the drive. And I was like, all right.
I'm not a huge Christmas music guy.
There are people out there that would be like, it's got to be December 24th, December 25th. Other than that, they're just not into it.
Well, I'll tell you what is Christmas time in the SEC. They got gifts everywhere. They're either
feeling jolly.
9-0, 7-2, 8-2. I mean, Connor, we talked about it in the break. Like, this SEC
dangerous.
Is just dangerous.
I mean, this might be the most dangerous, deepest SEC basketball we've seen in a while. Look at this. You got Tennessee at one. Auburn, this will obviously change on Monday, but Tennessee at one, Auburn at two, Kentucky at five, Alabama at seven, Florida at nine, Oklahoma at 13. Let me scroll down here, and I scrolled too far.
Let's not forget the Bulldogs at 25. Mississippi State Bulldogs.
A&M at 17, Ole Miss at 19, Bulldogs at 25. I mean, I lost count of how many that is, but that's
eight.
That's eight teams in the top 25. That's half of your SEC conference. 16-team conference, you got eight teams ranked. And five of them are in the top 10.
Just means more.
I mean, this is insanity. And it's not like the SEC is playing a bunch of softies.
Might be one team.
Maybe one team. Well, they got a key win over
kidding.
Baylor.
I'm kidding.
I mean, Tennessee's beating Baylor. Kentucky's beating Duke, who is somehow ranked above them.
Don't forget Gonzaga.
Gonzaga. Huge win, by the way.
I texted you. I was like, Connor, are we supposed to expect this out of Kentucky this year?
My BCS was kicking in during that. I was like, they're not going to win this.
BCS. Give me a break.
BCS. I use that for every single
Give me
team.
A break,
my favorite,
dude.
My favorite is Titans. It's BTS, which is the band.
Yeah, we all have BTS.
BTS. Yeah. BCS. But, it's just what a fun time to be in the SEC. In college sports, college football, you've got some teams to pull for here in the college football playoff. Now we're getting into the prime of college basketball, which is always going to be my favorite sport. But big one for one SEC team that I may or may not be repping today. It's L's down day, baby.
Is it?
Kentucky and Louisville.
How about it?
Arguably the biggest rivalry in basketball. There's probably one bigger that takes place in the state of North Carolina between another blue team and a light blue team. But this is a rivalry, Kentucky and Louisville, that like causes divorces. I'm serious. Like men or women that wear blue will not marry men and women that wear red. It's just it's a state rivalry. It deep means more in every sport. But basketball is the main one because it's a basketball state. This is a fun one today. Mark Pope, new coach at Kentucky. Pat Kelsey, new coach at Louisville. Kentucky performing a little bit better than Louisville lately. Louisville's missing their best player, arguably. Kentucky hoping to bring back their best player today, who has been injured, Lamont Butler, the point guard, which I'm a big Lamont Butler fan. In Rupp Arena, lights where the lights are brightest. This should be a fun one, Frazier. We should get some fireworks today.
Could this honestly rekindle this rivalry? I wouldn't say that this rivalry has lost its gusto.
No.
But I think it brings a whole new meaning.
Oh yeah.
Just in general, because you mentioned both new head coaches. I just feel like there's something extra to this.
They're
game
both
today.
They both seem more. Granted, they're first year coaches, but they both seem much more passionate about their program than the previous coaches do. Calipari obviously kind of ran it as an NBA factory. Didn't really have much school pride. Mark Pope played basketball at Kentucky. No one loves Kentucky basketball more than the coach. Pat Kelsey, there's a video going around of him literally going around Louisville's campus saying, hey, are you going to the game tonight?
Yeah, I did.
You should go to the game tonight. Giving out flyers. So I think it means more for both teams. I didn't clip it, but there was an interview, I think on KSR maybe. They had a Louisville player on, and they asked him, you know, why'd you pick Louisville over Kentucky? And the Louisville player said, I literally came to Louisville just to play Kentucky.
Oh, wow.
So it just means more for these two teams, in my opinion.
It's like those rivalry games in college football at the end of the year. You want to play, if you're one in whatever, only one game out of the season you win, that's the other game you want to win.
I looked at it this year because Kentucky football was just awful.
Yeah.
Awful. I said, if we could beat Louisville, it's a success. Yeah. I can't speak.
Stadium pulls. It's all right. Stadium pulls.
It's a successful season if we beat Louisville. Now, that didn't go well. But I'm saying the same thing for basketball. If we beat Duke, which we did, mm-hmm. if we beat Louisville, beat Arkansas, mm-hmm. because I want to stick it to John Calipari so bad.
Is that at Kentucky?
In Rupp Arena.
Oh, boy.
They're going to, I think they're going to boo him. I really
do.
You
think so?
I think they're going to boo him. Beat Arkansas, at least split with Tennessee, because it seems like every year Kentucky and Tennessee split for no reason.
Sometimes there's a sweep in there.
Occasionally, for both sides. And then, obviously, I'd love to see Mark Pope make the Sweet 16 just to stick it to Calipari again, because Calipari has just not made it out of the first weekend in, like, 5 years.
What?
Stick it to the Ben. Yeah. Aosis.
Aosis.
When yeah. when you talk about the Sweet, or the, you know, March Madness for Kentucky, what is, like, your measuring stick for Mark Pope? Is it the Sweet 16?
That's such a tough question, because, I mean, this team has kind of an identity of, you know, if they're hot, they're hot. They're not missing their shots, and they can beat anyone in the country. But if, as we saw against Clemson, if they're not hitting their shots, anyone can beat them. That's just how college basketball works. So it's hard for me to get a grasp on how far they're going to go. It's hard for me to do that for any team, because March Madness is just otherworldly insanity. I'm going to say Sweet 16. I think he's got the coaching. Is it intangibles or tangibles?
Tangibles.
Tangibles.
Intangibles.
Yeah. Things we can measure.
Yeah.
Joe Rexroad.
Not tangerines, but tangibles. Tangerines. Yeah.
Joe Rexroad taught me what the difference between tangibles and intangibles are. He's got the tangibles to coach his team up and get there, I think. I don't think he's going to go out and win a national championship in his first year. If he did, I've made this public. If and when he wins a national championship, I'm adopting a dog, and I'm naming him Pope.
Oh, boy.
It's going to happen.
That's a big step.
It's a big step.
So, straight up, you're adopting a dog.
I'm getting a pup.
Even with a car on the way.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I love this. Whoever this Connor Newt is, bring him back every week.
Maybe Connor needs to have a car die on him more often.
Yeah.
Let's not.
Well,
no, maybe that's bad maybe karma.
My pocket can't handle that.
Your pants are falling down. There's not enough money. Yeah, exactly.
I'm not loaded like you may think I am, but
it's all good. It's all good.
It's okay.
But yeah, this could be a big game for the Wildcats today. I'm intrigued. Connor, your Kentucky fandom has kind of washed this way to the side of the table. And like, obviously, I'm a basketball fan, but not to the degree you are. Mm. So watching Mississippi State being in the top 25, it's fun to see.
Mississippi State's fun to watch.
Yeah, they are.
They got an electric Josh Hubbard. Is that his name?
I believe so.
He's good. He's good.
They just have a good ball club in general. Like I will say, the last couple of seasons before the coaching change, it was some dark waters. It wasn't something to watch.
That's always a place I'm nervous for us to go play in. Stark
Vegas.
At the
hump, baby. At the hump.
At the hump. That crowd's always rowdy.
Yeah.
Always a tough place to play.
The only place you can't get a cowbell inside.
Yeah.
Actually, anywhere in the nation. But
do people try and smuggle cowbells in?
You know, one time I went in 2012, I think is what it was. Yeah, 2012. My brother was still at State. And I went to an Ole Miss Mississippi State game. It was a big rivalry game.
Yeah.
And I was sitting probably like third level. It was funny. Scott Strickland actually came up and said hi.
Oh, nice.
Said hi to everybody. He was still the AD at Mississippi State. And you could tell there was probably one or two. So at Mississippi State, they make these giant cowbells.
Mm-hmm.
They make small, medium ones, and extreme, like small ones, like for toddlers. Mm-hmm. There were people that were getting those and bringing them in. Like probably one or two people. But security got onto that pretty quick.
That's going to be a fun basketball matchup.
Yeah. It'd be pretty interesting.
Chris Beard's a fun coach, too.
Yeah. Hey, he was at UCLA previously, right?
He was at
Texas.
He was at Texas Tech with Jarrett Culver when they made the Final Four. Did they make the national championship?
No, I don't believe so.
I thought that was them in Virginia when Virginia won it.
No, well,
I don't
know. We can do some research on that,
and I'll
get back to you.
We'll do some research. They did go far. He was at Texas Tech, then he took the Texas job, and then he had some things happen to him. Not to him, he did things to someone.
Allegedly.
Got fired there, and then kind of having his comeback at Ole Miss. I don't think he'll stay at Ole Miss too long.
Yeah.
Just the way he's coaching. But he's got a good team. He's kind of brought Ole Miss basketball back to relevancy in a traditional football school, sometimes baseball, not really anymore. But
I mean, it's kind of brought that rivalry back a little bit when it comes to for Mississippi State Ole Miss. Obviously, the Egg Bowl has been kind of lackluster last couple of years.
They're always fun in baseball, though.
Oh, yeah.
Always fun.
Hey, so, yeah.
Catch a game at the Dude, it's like minor league baseball.
I wonder how much of those apartments out there, those like hotel rooms.
Yeah, out in left field. I'm not too sure. I got some people that live down the Stark Block.
Those check them look awesome.
Can you imagine living there and then just a ball just comes crashing?
I don't know if you can live there, but I do believe they're mostly like Airbnbs.
Yeah.
Most like you can rent them for like a series for the weekend.
Yeah, I believe it's something like that.
That's awesome.
I know when I was there before the renovation, they had the left field lounge and the right field lounge. Left field lounge, everybody would bring their trailers and whatever it was and just park it right out there. Right field lounge is a little bit different. It has the same situation, but also you bring out your grill and everybody's just feeding everybody.
Real quick.
Go ahead.
I can't talk about our two teams. Not talk about this one. Vols headed to Champaign, Illinois today.
Big game. Later this afternoon. I actually pulled up the stats from last year, and I think the two things that Tennessee needs to do if they want to replicate last year's performance: guarding the three. Illinois was 9 for 36 last year in Knoxville,
right?
And working the boards. Tennessee owned the defensive rebounding game last year, and was able to kind of keep Illinois off the boards and stuff, able to get a 86-79 win. Dalton Connect ain't walking through that door.
Chaz Lanier is. Chaz Lanier.
He's been impressive.
Can't be stopped.
Is this finally a game where Tennessee gets tested?
Maybe. They're on the road.
Yeah, on the road.
Against a solid
Illinois
team.
is a 1.5-point underdog. A little bit more less than I thought they would be. So it should be a fun game.
All right. Love that. You know what's not going to be a fun game? This Sunday for the Titans.
Nice.
That's going to be something to not watch.
Real quick, before we move on, 2018-2019 was when Chris Beard made the national title.
I thought so.
Because then I think the next, or was it the previous year where Virginia got beat by UMBC?
Yep. In the first round.
Yep. So
the memory on this guy, I love it. I love it. Well, what I'm trying to do is have short-term memory with the Titans because they're just abysmal to watch. We'll get into more of that on the other side here on Forest Company. And before we go to break, I do need to add, you can go to 94.9 The Fan today for pregame coverage starting at 1:45 and listen to our very own Jake Lyman, who is on this show, as the Lady Commodores take on Evansville at Memorial Gym. Tip-off is at 2 o'clock. Like I said, pregame is at 1:45. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and 94.9thefan.com. Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game with Jake Ballman, Connor New, myself, Nick Frazier, all the above.
All the small things.
All the small things, right? And you know what? Something not small, food you can get over at 312 Pizza Company. Nashville's best deal this week is 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as a Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, yum, and more. Check them out at 371 Monroe Street in Germantown or order takeout online at 312pizzaco.com. Head over to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. As I said, Force Company with Connor Newton and Jake Wallman. Getting in a little bit of a Titans talk here. Obviously, the Titans are taking on the Cincinnati Bengals this Sunday. And boy, oh boy, am I ready to just turn the channel, because
can't wait to not watch.
I just can't wait not to watch. I'll probably peek a few plays here and there. But, you know, the thing that's kind of grabbed my interest a little bit, have the Titans kind of worked themselves back into a top three draft spot? I mean, they're not at a top three spot right now.
Yeah.
But could that possibly happen?
It could. A lot of things would have to play into your favor, though.
Yeah.
It does help that you just lost to team 32 of 32.
It really does.
In maybe the worst game I have ever watched. I don't know. This Bengals matchup intrigues me for some reason. The Bengals legitimately may have the worst defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
The Titans offense doesn't like to show up against bad defenses, apparently.
I can't understand how Cincinnati can put up like 30 points a game and still allow like 30 points a game. It just doesn't add up to me.
I feel bad for them. because they are wasting Joe Burrow this season. Joe Burrow is putting up MVP numbers right now. MVP numbers. And he may have, I heard TD say this yesterday, Ja'Marr Chase might be the best receiver in the league.
Oh, yeah.
I bounce back and forth between him and Jefferson, but you look at what Ja'Marr Chase does for that team and does for, you know, that offense, it's unheard of. Like, he just creates his own place. Simple slant route across the middle, Burrow finds him, he's gone.
Yeah.
I don't get it. But he's electric. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, I think, if I'm not mistaken, my memory serves me right, Ja'Marr Chase is roughly like 600-plus yards away from, I guess, breaking the season single record for receiving yards, if that's not
something like that. Oh, that's crazy. He can get that in three games.
Yeah, I think he has to average like 162 yards per game to achieve this accolade. So that'd be pretty neat to see. I mean, he might honestly get 280-something-odd yards against the Titans. But,
yeah.
I mean, I will say, for the Bengals' sake on offense, they're, like, I guess, running back Chase Brown out of Illinois, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was out of a Big Ten school. He's found himself a form lately. I mean, mm-hmm. he's been one of those kind of role players when Zach Moss went down, and he's just like, all right, next guy in. And he's been great. He's been their bell cow for the majority of the season.
The Bengals' backfield is interesting to me because losing a big guy, key piece in your backfield, Joe Mixon, goes over to Houston. Then they bring in Zach Moss, and I'm like, oh, wow, this team has really taken a step back. Their backfield has been really solid, especially for a pass-first offense with Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase. But Chase Brown, like you said, finding his place. And it's also interesting because that offensive line is not great. Yeah. It never has been great. The Bengals.
That just gives Joe Burrow a little bit more credit to himself because – he's getting the ball out of his hands pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, and also the run game, like Chase Brown's a short little stocky guy. Reminds me of myself a little bit. Obviously not at an NFL level, but, you know, you find the small hole and you're gone.
You hear that, yeah. Titans?
Yeah.
Put Nick Frazier in the backfield.
Yeah, I was going to say, should we sign Nick Frazier?
Listen,
yeah.
I've offered my services. I'll offer it again. Give me like an NBA 10-day contract. I'm willing to go out to the practice fields. I'm willing to do some running back drills. I still got a little pep in my step.
Let's put you in a fullback collar.
That's what it's position.
We'll get you a flak jacket.
Yes.
Get out there.
You know, I had a really rough go in when I was in high school playing football, and we're playing, I think, Cane Ridge, and a giant lineman. I mean, easily 300 bills. And I went to go get the ball, and I went to cut back, and I got like sideswiped and like barrel rolled tackled, and then the just giant defensive tackle landed on me. I couldn't breathe. I bruised like three or four ribs on I think. Yeah, on my left side, and had to go in an ambulance and everything. But yeah, it was
crazy. Rocked.
It was crazy. I didn't know what to do. I thought I was going to die.
Well, if you're interested, there are tryouts being held in the Applebee's parking lot.
Really?
To play fullback for the Titans.
All right, I'm there.
Go ahead.
I think the Titans need to bring back the old school fullback. Because Tony Pollard's been great this season. And you can't deny that. That's one of those guys, even though he's up there in age. And Jake Lyman we hinted at this Tuesday about pillars on this team. Like, who do you carry on from this roster onto the next kind of, I guess, the next couple of years when it comes to, you know, the new Nissan Stadium? I mentioned Tony Pollard. I mean, obviously the years kind of get up to you. He's not no Derrick Henry, but at the same time, you have to look at his value on the field. He's been great. You can't say he hasn't been.
No, he has. It's kind of I don't want to say breath of fresh air for the backfield because, I mean, Derrick Henry, you're never going to replace Derrick Henry for this offense. It's just never going to happen. But it is kind of a pleasant surprise to see another running back come in here immediately after Derrick Henry and just kind of take over and be a key piece in moving the ball down the field. Tony Pollard's been that. So I'm with you. I could see him being a key pillar, for lack of a better term, heading into this new stadium.
You know, I was you guys are familiar with the Sporkle app.
Yeah.
It has those like fun sports quizzes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing a Titans quiz that named every starting quarterback for the Titans from like 1999 to 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Some interesting names Billy Volek.
Yep, Billy Volek.
Charlie Whitehurst.
Yep.
Matt Cassel.
Charlie Whitehurst. Clipboard Jesus.
And
Clipboard Jesus.
You know, as I was doing the quiz, I thought, you know, I mean, it's just funny how the Titans really haven't had that staple QB, you know.
Yeah.
Since McNair.
Yeah, really since Steve McNair, they've not had that guy that you can look at and be like, that's the face of this franchise at quarterback.
We thought it was Marcus for a little bit.
Yeah.
His first couple years, then he broke his leg, and I take that to the grave. That's what killed him.
Yeah.
He was never the same after that.
But it's funny how you can just kind of put a running back in this offense and it's almost like instant. They're going to have a good year almost. Yeah. And if Tony Pollard were to rush for 1,000 yards, he would be the eighth Titans running back to rush for 1,000 yards, not counting any running back for the Oilers.
Well, that's wow. Great to hear, actually. I mean, it just shows that there's a lot of optimism on the other side for the Titans when it comes into next season. I mean, going back to the initial question of the Titans may have talked themselves back into a top three spot for the draft. I mean, they're currently holding the fifth spot. I mean, they're the fifth worst team in the NFL. The Patriots are under them, along with the Panthers, Raiders, and Giants. It doesn't look like the Raiders are going to win this week. Giants might actually just take the cake for the first overall. I mean, the Panthers, they could upset Dallas this week. I don't know. That's something interesting to look at. And the Patriots, I don't know. That's another team. So I think Titans, out of those five there, I think the Patriots and Panthers have the best odds, in my opinion, to win some games.
Honestly,
in the last couple games of the season.
I'm going to go ahead and say if they don't get a top three pick, I'd go ahead and trade down.
Yeah.
There's no one in this draft that just blows my mind. Trade down. Get a late round pick, get a first round pick for next year, then we're cooking.
Yeah. It's just to the point where I'm looking at this front office, and obviously people have been griping about Amy not speaking to media. What's the direction? Like, obviously the direction has been, you know, you build along with, you know, rebuilding along with getting veteran players. That just really hasn't worked for them. I think they were really hoping. I think Amy was sold on, and a lot of Titans fans were sold on, that this team could catch lightning in a bottle with Calvin Ridley.
We all got sold on it.
Yeah. I mean, I was out here on the airwaves on the weekend with you guys saying this team could win 7 wins at a minimum.
Yeah.
And I'm over here looking at it now. I'm like, good Lord.
I think I picked them to go 9-8, 8-9, around that area. Right at 5. Well, we don't have 500 in the NFL, but right around that area.
It just goes to show you, when Mike Vrabel was here, he didn't expect losing. The expectation was not to lose. I'm not saying that is the expectation now, but it's just saying there was a different demeanor when Vrabel was the head coach here.
Vrabel wasn't the problem.
No.
I'll go ahead and say
I don't think so either.
I think we all know who the problem is or what the problem is. I don't think Brian Callahan's the problem. Actually, I think his play calling is developing a little more. He seems a little more confident in what he's calling. And
yeah.
But to each their own. Titans, not fun to watch this year. May not be fun to watch for the next couple years, but we'll see.
You know what is fun? Newt's Notes.
Yeah, it is.
And we're going to get to that next here on Forrest Company. And, I don't know what Newt has in store for us, but we'll get to nutrition as well. I mean, this is great. I'm pumped for it. So, hey, stick with us on the other side. Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
If you smell!
What? Connor Newt.
Is cooking.
You heard the intro.
Oh, it's yeah.
Connor Newt. It is time for Newt's Notes.
Yeah.
Ba-da-bup nutrition.
I was already fired up this morning.
Yeah.
The final boss just took me to a new level. I'm ready to go. He might show up tonight, too. So they're doing, do you remember Saturday Night Main Event?
Yeah.
And like, it's mostly an 80s thing, 80s and 90s, but they're bringing it back. Today, and it's heavily rumored, Dwayne Johnson may show up. But as far as nutrition,
yes. What do we got here?
So my mom made whole grain French toast, threw it on the skillet, put some syrup on it, and I look in the fridge and I'm like, oh, whipped cream. So it was a little sugary this morning, but you know, I'm feeling good.
Well, how thick was the bread? Pretty thick. Yay big.
It wasn't thin, but it wasn't like thick.
Okay.
I'm in the middle. I like it in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't like it too fluffy. I don't like it too thin.
I'm right there with you. Because if it's too thin, it's too crispy.
Yeah.
And if it's too thick, it's too gooey. It's like a brownie. No, yeah, thanks.
No.
Okay.
Not a fan of that.
How about that? But as for the notes.
The notes.
The meat and potatoes of this segment.
I got a little ranty rant. So there was a report that came out earlier this week. They asked the NCAA president, you know, how do we feel about March Madness? Do we like where we are? Do we not? So the NCAA president, whose name I'm blanking on, and I don't...
Charlie Baker.
Thank you. Charlie Baker comes out and says, yeah, we're making progress on expanding the March Madness to 70 to 75 teams. No, 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 no.
Excuse me? 75?
75.
When did this become a, like, you know, oh, here's an award? Come join the club.
That's where I'm going. Not every team needs to be in. Thank you. I think 68 is a bit much, to be honest with you, but, you know, 75 is like saying, hey, congrats. Let's give him a high five and a handshake. Thanks for playing. We'll pay you a bag of chips and a mint. I don't know. It's
bag of chips and a mint.
I don't know. It's just, why does the NCAA feel the need to expand absolutely everything? I've come around to the 12-team playoff, but now you can't get used to it because it's going to be 14 in a couple years. And I guarantee you they're moving towards 16, maybe 18. We're going to get to a point where it's just 24 straight teams.
You know what I say, Connor. You know what runs all this?
Money.
Bingo.
Money.
It's like I'd say money is the root of all evil when it comes to stuff like this. It takes with the passion.
Yeah. It's just insane. It's definitely money driven. It's definitely they said the network TV programs are pushing it too, which means we want to televise more games because that means more money for our network and more viewers drives our ratings up.
Well, and obviously this is also going to push the tournament back.
Yeah. You're not going to finish that tournament till end of April.
Yeah.
Maybe early May. So do we even call it March Madness anymore? Do we just call it
Madness?
Madness.
Because, I mean, that's essentially what it's going to be. When I saw this, I had an interesting post on X that I think kind of resonates with this situation. Sports only get ruined when adults meddle in stuff like this.
I don't understand it. Like, can we not just leave things alone? It's the same thing as Hollywood. Go look at the movies out right now in Hollywood. Every single one of them is either a remake or a sequel. There are no original ideas anymore. We have to just recycle things we already have. This is kind of goes along with sports. There's no originality. We got to expand everything so everyone gets a chance, and we'll probably still see who the best team is anyway. I don't want some, you know, G5 schmuck coming in as a 20. We're probably not doing 16 seeds anymore. We're probably going to, you know, 20. The 20 seed taking on the 1 seed. No one wants to watch that. I don't want to watch, you know, St. Edward's take on Kansas.
Easy. We were good back in the day.
Sorry. Not St. Edward's. Where can I go with it? Here, I'll throw my school. St. Henry's. I don't want to watch them play Kansas. I don't want to watch, you know, NCS play Gonzaga. I don't know. I'm just throwing random schools out.
Right.
I want to watch the good stuff. And that's part of the fun in March Madness is the occasional upset. I think we saw it a couple years ago where it was UConn and San Diego State in the national championship because everyone got beat. Everyone got upset. Too many upsets is too much. But if you expand the tournament, you're going to increase that. And what's that going to do? You're going to have, you know, San Jose State and, I don't know, Michigan State in the national championship. How many people are actually going to watch that?
Joe Rexroad would be all over that.
Joe Rexroad and Derek Mason. They'd love that. Me? Nah. Nah.
You want your blue bloods.
I want, Michigan State's.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just tired of everyone getting a participation award. Hey, great season. Come on in.
You want a red ribbon? We got you one.
We're going to give you a lollipop. Go get you some. I don't know. There's no need for this. There's no need for that. You got, everything's expanding. I don't like it. I don't like change. I don't do well with change. I especially don't like change that's unnecessary. You're perfectly fine at 68. Never change it. Never expand it. Don't give it the football treatment. Just leave it. And that's where I stand.
I love that. Just firm, to the point.
Never do it.
Never do it. I will tease something for you, Connor. We got some good news.
Mm.
Really good news when it comes to baseball.
Mm.
Should I just tell you now? Because we're going to the other side.
Yeah.
The Houston Astros are interested in a specific third baseman in St. Louis.
Maybe to replace their third baseman they just got rid of yesterday?
Exactly.
That's good
news. Nolan Arenado and the Houston Astros, they're chatting.
That's good. That's good news.
So, but yeah, with that, thanks for news notes, man.
You know what? Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to present my weekly rant to you.
It's great. Yeah, I'm always intrigued to see what it is every week. So you keep doing you, man.
Thank you.
Always keep doing you.
Thank you.
Well, as for that, we'll get on to the other side. Connor Newt will give us some rundown of what we got going on at the top of the second hour. And, yeah, you're listening to Force Company right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.